You're listening to the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast with John Rabin. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast with John Rabin, episode 48. Let's see. This sounds weird. All right. I mean, I'm talking into the mic different. How do I sound? All right, this sounds fine. My voice is back, kind of. I don't know, it's still slowly doing its thing, coming back from being sick last week. Also doesn't help that I'm still continuing to vape. I did take a break for a couple of days to recover, and then now I think I'm just hindering it a little bit, but... Look, I got to have my nicotine and my caffeine. It's just, it's a compromise. We're going to go with these. I'm going to be addicted to these and not the others. That's what we're doing. That's what we're going to do. It's May 22nd as of the recording of this. And episode 48. We're just four away from doing this for a full year. What a journey it's been, everyone, I guess. It's interesting. I keep talking to friends of mine. Like, we'll go, those friends that you lose touch because, you know, life. And then I talk to them, and they I'm just like, how have you been? And they go, and I've had two different people go, oh, right, we haven't spoken. But I've been listening to your podcast, so it feels like we're caught up. And, you know, for the most part, that would be fine. But now there are some friends I do want to see how you're doing. So, you know, if that's you and we haven't talked in a while, maybe send me a message. Communication is good, they say. I don't know how... Some of you have been I know how some of you have been dealing with the disappointment of season 8 of Game of Thrones. I can tell you how I dealt with a little bit of the disappointment that I had. I reinstalled the game Skyrim. So in the amount of time that you've, not you specifically, but you vaguely out there, have been bitching to your friends and online, and all that time, I have taken a character and killed 10 dragons. I absorbed their souls because I'm dragonborn, right? And then also, I've joined a mercenary group in which I was turned into a werewolf, which has its advantages and a couple of disadvantages. And then also, now I'm in the Dark Brotherhood Assassin's Guild. I'm working my way through that. I'm about to join the Thieves Guild. And then after that, there's a task force called Dawn Guard where they go out and kill vampires. So I'll probably do that after that. Meanwhile, becoming an expert in axes and bow and arrow. So what I'm saying is people deal with disappointment differently. That's what I'm doing. I highly recommend Skyrim. It doesn't have as much titty as you would think, but it is a video game played by children and me. So, highly recommended. It's a big open world fantasy. You get to do all that shit, and you get to just, you know, be a sword for hire and all that. I think it's a great way to deal with any kind of disappointment that you may have over a fictional TV show and how make-believe characters didn't live up to the expectations you had for them as imaginary people. Just a thought. Also, I bring that up because if you're wondering how my week went, that's what I've been up to. That game. No, that's not all. No, that's not all. Hey, oh yeah. I finally bought a bed for an adult that, you know, that sleeps more than one. you can always tell how I can, if I did like a timeline and just listed what kind of bed I was using over the 45 years of my life, you could almost see how things were going for me based on what kind of bed I owned or didn't own. You know, you could really kind of see, it's like, oh, he's doing great. Look at that queen size bed. It's, oh, nope, he got divorced. He's back to full. He's got a full size now. No, but it's all right. It's a full size. It's going. Wait, what happened? Now he owns nothing. He seems to be owning nothing, living nowhere. And then, oh, nope, he's got a California twin. What the fuck is that? It's a twin bed for really tall motherfuckers. So, yeah, I had a California twin for, shit, man. How long? It's like 6 years. I've had this bed, 5 years. And it's just, I didn't, it's like, well, what if you had a woman on board? Well, I didn't. You know, I would, and the couple of times that I did date, I would just like, let me go to your place. It's like, my place is not like girlfriend friendly. It just, it's not, there's nothing appealing about it for the longest time. But now I've got like a TV, like a large flat screen TV. I've got and so my girlfriend had come over for a couple of nights, you know, because I finally cleaned up the place to where it didn't destroy her allergies with all the dust and cat hair. No offense, kitty. And then, you know, so I cleaned up the place and made it, you know, inhabitable by people out other than me. And so she came over. And it took her coming over like once for me to go, I should get another bed. So I finally did that. And you will not believe, like I was like, what, do I have to go to a fucking mattress warehouse? Do I have to deal with these, you know, we got a mattress sale again. Like they always have, you know, trucks and mattresses always on sale. And I, you know, quotations, sale. Oh, we've got a special this week. It's the same special every week with your mattresses. So I didn't know what I was going to do there. And then I discovered that Amazon sells mattresses in a box, which immediately wants you to, makes you kind of go red flag. It's like, wait, in a box? But yes. And they sent it. So I got a pillow top, inner spring queen size mattress in a box. And it's not a, you know, and you see the box and you're like, there's a mattress in there? Yes. Cause it was, you know, it's vacuum sealed in there and all that shit. So I bought one, they delivered it. So I didn't have to haul anything up three flights of stairs. So it was at my door. I opened it up and it rules. Oh, also Amazon let me pay for it over 5 months with no interest rate. They just charge your credit card a certain amount for, you know, every month for 5 months. So say what you will about large evil corporations, as long as you're consuming, they can do some shit for you. It's pretty neat. But yeah, I'm gonna recommend it. I wouldn't go base level. I went with like the 10-inch queen pillow top. That's what I went with. And my only complaint about it is that it's so fucking comfortable. Like the first day I had it, the first time I slept on it, I was late for work the next day. Sure, I think I heard the alarm. I think I just didn't care. So I didn't, I was late for work the first day I had the mattress. The second day I was almost late for work, made it barely in time. And then my past 3 days off, I've just slept way fucking later than I wanted to. I just ignore them. So there is an issue. And the issue with it is that once I get into that bed, I don't want to leave. It's like a cocoon. I don't know. So I guess that's a glowing review. This bed's going to make me lose my job. I think that that's the best review I can give it. So, something just happened earlier. I made tuna salad sandwiches for lunch because I'm a health nut, and it was easy. And I haven't had, you know, tuna in a while in this apartment. So when I opened it, of course, immediately the cat comes running in because all her food is in cans. And I just, and you know, because she doesn't speak English, she's not getting the point that I kept trying to make, which is, look, this is not for you. I know what it sounds like. I know. But this is not, no, this is for me. This is, it doesn't make, I know, it doesn't make any sense, but you have to believe me. This is my food, not your food. I know it looks the same. You're not listening to me. This is my food. Anyway, I think that right there, it reminded me of everybody in America. It just, when it comes to right-wing, left-wing type shit, or just two sides of an issue where nobody's listening to each other because they think they're right. So they're not going to listen to any kind of, so there's like, that's exactly what it felt like. It felt like I was trying to, like I was explaining my point and they, you know, the cat's not having it. It's not listening to me at all because she knows that's cat food. You know, she knows that's for her, but it's not. It's just not listening. And there's not a point there other than it was very, it felt very familiar. Going, you got to believe me. This is what it really is. And they're just like, no, meow, meow. And then that's, so I'm never going to not think that anytime I get involved in any kind of discussion or try an attempt at a discussion and it's not an argument with somebody who's not listening to me, all I'm going to think is just them going, meow, meow, meow. That's all I'm going to think now moving forward because it was the same fucking thing. It's tuna. It's not cat food. Tuna is cat food. Not this specifically. All right. Hey, hope you're staying sober. Sober people, hope you're staying sane, normal people. I wanted to bring up a thing. This isn't brand new news. It's fairly, it's like 8 days old, but I just saw it. And I normally don't, normally I don't have articles that pop up from the Austin American Statesman in my feed. So I didn't normally use this, but there's a Chicago-based company called Fidascript. Sure. But they are now selling two doses of naloxone, which is the opioid overdose reversal drug. But they are now selling that. You can get two doses for anywhere between $116 to $178. You can buy that online now if you live in Texas. Texas is allowing you to buy that. You have to watch a short training video on how to use the drug before you place an order. And then it's placed an order through what's called a naloxone exchange online marketplace. And then they will ship it to you. Then wait for the drug to be discreetly delivered to the door. That'd be ironic, right? The delivery man goes, psst, hey, yo, you want an opioid overdose reversal drug? Like, I don't know. I don't know what they mean by discreetly. It's comes wrapped in the same stuff that porn used to come in. I don't know. Discreet. That was always the funny thing, though. porno mags mailed, or like discreetly mailed. And so it came in a plastic bag with a black cover that only pornographic magazines came in. So it's like, yeah, you can't see what it is, but you know what it is. So it's not really discreet. This is not the point of what I was talking about, but I just a side effect. I hear about the porno mags. I wouldn't know. But anyway, yeah, what they said. What were we talking about? Fidascript, this company founder, says that this is the first of its kind. Service is launching in Texas because of the state's willingness to approve its business model. The Board of Pharmacy in Texas was surprisingly very open to the innovative ways to solve this problem. So, look. Yeah, sometimes Texas sucks, especially with the our state government and who's in charge. But sometimes it's okay, and that's promising to have that available. Now, granted, you know, because this way you can, for people who are dealing with opioid addiction, you have at least this. It's probably good to have around. The shitty part is that if you have a drug problem, you're not going to want to spend $120 to $150 bucks to get this. Although it's a good investment, it really is. But it kind of sucks that there's a good chance that if you're not taking care of yourself in other aspects, because all the money's going to the drug, you're not going to spend that money this. So maybe the next step will be able to providing access to this service with like funding. Like maybe a private organization can help fund, coordinate with this, can help fund this for people who can't, you know, their addiction is not allowing them to spend that kind of money to save their life should things go sideways, which it does. It will at some point. It just does. But that's interesting to know that that's available. So FYI. All right. I actually didn't write this down of what I was going to talk about today, but I wanted to bring it up because I think it's important, and there's no real resolution for it, but I need to bring it up. So I have a friend who has been we were in recovery program together, and so the rumor among acquaintances like that we have together is that this friend of mine has been doing drugs again, and the thing about this is what's weird about this is that, so when you have this kind of rumor thing going around and suspicion, so you have a bunch of people talking to each other, not to the person that it's about. And then the result is you have all of these people who are concerned for my friend contacting them and saying, you know, hey, are you doing all right? So when you have a bunch of people out of nowhere going, how are you? Are you okay? It's just this wave of patronizing, condescending shit coming at you. Like all of a sudden you're going to have like the fourth or fifth person going, are you okay? And then they go, no, thanks for reaching out, because man, I really needed to break down and talk to you over the phone. It's odd. It's And it's nobody's fault, really. They're not trying. People aren't trying to all do the same kind of thing. Like, kind of, they just, I think, you know, it's a helpless feeling where you want to do something. So you're doing probably the least effective thing you can do, which is to just, you know, I'm going to reach out. And I'm like, well, usually people in this situation, if people are really desperate and they need, and they're lonely and they need help, they're going to make that known. I mean, not always, I know. But I can tell you this. Here's the thing. Here's the problem with somebody who was a drug addict and then they aren't. And then that maybe they are again. Maybe they relapsed. Here's the problem with that. If you go, are you using drugs again? They're going to, if they aren't using drugs, they're going to go, no. And if they are using drugs, they're going to go, no. You can't tell the fucking difference. So there's no reason. The only reason that you want to find out, because that's really a big thing, is while you care about a person, you also have this other urge as a human being to figure out, you know, to solve the mystery. Like you want to hear from them, and you're not going to be satisfied until you hear them go, yeah, I'm fucking up and doing drugs again. And then you're like, and then you don't say anything, but in your head you go, I knew it. And it's not the way to go. You can be concerned, you know, and this may not be right, but this is what I believe, which is, it doesn't matter if they've relapsed or not, from your point of view. That shouldn't change the nature of your relationship with that person. You just need to be a friend. Just be available. Don't force shit. Don't be weird. You know, just keep in touch. Listen when they talk. And just be available. That's what you need to do. You know, because if they know that you're just, that you're still their buddy, you know, then if they need help or if they want to talk about it, they will. But you can't bait them into opening up about their feelings and some of the shit that they're going through. You know, it's also, it doesn't matter if you know or not. It's my thing. It's like, that's not it, and that's hard because you kind of go, well, I'd like to know the truth. Yeah, but that's not relevant here. It's your relationship. They're a friend of yours. You know, you hope that it isn't. You gotta avoid that natural urge to be right about something, to know the truth and be right. No, that's not relevant here. What's relevant is your relationship with that person, and do you care about that person? Are you friends? Well, then, you know, be available. Hope the best for them, and just, you know, when they need you, you can be available to them. And I don't know, you know, I can't tell you when that is, because it's just, all I can tell you is from personal experience that when I was going through shit, if I had anybody contacting me about getting help, or if there is anything that they could do for me other than give me money, it's a, you know, I know that my urge would be, yeah, here's something you can do. Leave me the fuck alone. That's what you could do. You could, because this is an awkward conversation. This seems very, very forced. So, I don't know. It's a difficult situation. But from your perspective as the friend, You need to quit thinking that you're going to find out what the truth is, because that's not important. What is important is your relationship with that person. How about that? The more you know. All right, you guys. Well, I had another thing I wanted to talk about, but it's really not... it doesn't have... It's not a timely thing. I can wait till next week, so we'll go over that next week. It's not that big of a deal. It's just a thing I thought was cool. So we'll talk about that next week. But thanks for sticking with me for this episode. This has been Yes, I'm Still Sober. I'm John Rabin. You can still email me at stillsoberpod@gmail.com if you have any questions or anything you want to talk about or hear me ramble about. And I will totally do it. I'm all for requests and questions within reason, I guess. So have a good week, everybody. Later. Let's ride.